A popular directive for success says this: fake it until you make it. In essence, what that direction is telling you to do is to act like something is true when in fact it is not true. They are calling upon deception in order to bring about success. Another way to look at it might be they are encouraging you to become a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone who lives a life that is the life of deception, who acts as though certain things are true when in fact those things are not true at all. In fact, oftentimes the opposite is true. And so there is this fakery that is involved. There is deception. There is faking it until you make it. And this is a very common method taught today to people on how to become successful. Act successful and you will become successful is the motto of the day. And that is a very common concept and belief in the world today. And we in the Church of Jesus Christ today oftentimes look at that statement and say, that is only true in the world. When in fact, sad to say, that is oftentimes true in the church as well. Where we have people in the Church of Jesus Christ today who are following that same direction in a spiritual sense. They are trying to fake it until they make it. They are trying to act like a Christian, act in a certain godly manner, when in fact that is not true of their inner nature at all. One of the areas where we see this especially true and prevalent in the church today is the matter of prayer. We find oftentimes in prayer this attitude of fakery, acting like certain things are true, when in fact they are not true. There is deception involved. There is deceit. There is a behavior that is not a true pattern of behavior. And because there is hypocrisy that has invaded in the Church of Jesus Christ today, especially in this area of prayer, we have grieved the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God is known as the Spirit of prayer. We've quenched His work. We lack spiritual power. We don't have the supernatural authority and ability of God by His Spirit in our lives because of our hypocrisy, especially in prayer. The Church of Jesus Christ today faces a real critical crossroads. We need spiritual revival very desperately. The sin of hypocrisy in prayer has become extremely prevalent in the church today. And there are some causes behind it, I fear. We have not followed the truth of God's Word in, first of all, believing that prayer works. We have a false notion about prayer. Secondly, we have a false and wrong attitude about hypocrisy in prayer. The fact that we can be a hypocrite when it comes to prayer. If we are ever to once again experience that fresh outpouring of God by His Spirit on our lives, upon the Church of Jesus Christ, we must repent of our sin. We must turn in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. We must change from that which is sinful to that which is true. My friend, wrong never brings right. That is not the way God works. And if we are to again know His presence, we must study God's Word and understand prayer. For the Bible speaks a great deal about prayer and how we can pray honestly before the Father and how we can see Him answer and how we can go before the Father in prayer with the absolute certainty that He is going to answer. And when we begin to pray in that fashion, my friend, we will see God work. We will see Him pour out a fresh flow of His Spirit in our lives and in the Church of Jesus Christ. There will be a spiritual transformation. in your life, in my life, and in the Church of Jesus Christ. I want us to examine what the Scriptures say about prayer, because it talks specifically about hypocrisy in prayer. The Lord Jesus Himself talked about it. And I want to read His statement and what He said about it. And then we'll examine it to see how God's truth applies in our life today. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 5, it says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." This verse is taken from what is called the Sermon on the Mount, the message that God gave to His believers, and how they were to live, and how the kingdom of God was to become a living reality in our lives today, in our daily practice. He taught a great deal about prayer in that sermon. This is taken from one of those sections where He dealt with prayer. Specifically, He's talking here about hypocrisy. And so it fits for our topic today, to see what God's Word has to say about hypocrisy in prayer. I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths today and make them real in your life and apply them in your life today to teach you, to correct you, to convict you perhaps, but to encourage you and to draw you to the Father in repentance and in forgiveness of sin and in cleansing and in spiritual revitalization. Let's examine what these Scriptures say to us about hypocrisy in prayer. The first thing I want you to notice is that it's possible. The mere fact that I pray does not rule out the fact that I can pray and be a hypocrite. For notice that the Lord Jesus just very clearly says, "And when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrite prays." So that it is very possible that you could be a hypocrite in your prayer life. The Lord Jesus identifies it as a very clear possibility, for that is not to be the way that we pray. Well, now let's understand first, right off the bat here, what the Lord Jesus means when He talks about a hypocrite. That word in its original Greek language means an actor, someone who is playing a role on a stage. I'm sure at some point or other you've seen a play, perhaps at church or at school. You've gone to see your children in school plays, and you've seen them play out roles on the stage. It's an act. The word here is hypocrite. Someone who is acting out a role, playing just a role. It isn't their real personality at all. It isn't their real character. That isn't really them. They are just playing a role. We would say that very clearly about someone acting in a play on the stage. That's the term that the Lord Jesus used here when He said, "When you pray, don't pray like the hypocrite prays. Don't pray like the actor on the stage who is merely acting out a role." Someone who is praying in a fashion that isn't real and true to their nature and their character. Someone who is simply acting out a form, a pattern of behavior, just not being true. So the Lord Jesus identifies very clearly that it's possible to be a hypocrite in prayer. And He identifies them with the name, so that we know what it means, someone who is acting out a role. And then, lest we not really understand what He's talking about, He gives us a vivid example. He illustrates what He means. He says, don't pray like the hypocrite. For example, don't pray like the one who loves to pray standing in the synagogue or standing on the street corner. Now here's the part. To be seen of men. Normally when you see someone praying, what's the thought that goes through your mind? Well, I think for many people, at least it's true in my life, When I see someone pray, my initial thought is, well, how sincere. Look at that. That one is praying. They must really love the Lord. They must be really sincere in seeking God's face. They must really know the Lord and realize the importance of prayer. Are not those common thoughts that pass through our minds when we observe someone praying? Jesus said, this particular individual who was praying, giving off that kind of appearance, giving that kind of act, giving off that kind of a display, those around him thought he was praying very sincerely and devoutly. Ah, but you see, there's a critical difference here. The Lord Jesus saw his heart. And he knew the real reason behind the man standing on the corner praying. It wasn't to have fellowship and communion with God. It wasn't because he was sincerely seeking after God and desiring a petition of the Father. It wasn't because he loved that fellowship that you can have in prayer with God. No, none of those. His sole purpose was to be seen of men, so that those passing through the synagogue, those passing by in the street, would look at that one and say what he hoped they would say. Oh, look at him. Isn't he something? When in reality, he was nothing. Does that ever happen to you in prayer? There are ways it can sneak into the prayer life of the believer. For example, oftentimes do we not go up to a friend or someone in the church and congregation and we say very enthusiastically, John or Sue or Sally or James, I'm praying for you. Why do you say that? Do you say that honestly to encourage that man, that woman, that friend? Is that the sincere desire of your heart? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is a very sincere statement that you make. You want to encourage your friend. Ah, but I fear all too often it's for no grander purpose than the purpose of this hypocrite standing on the corner to be seen of men. We do it so that we might somehow raise our estimation in the eyes of our friend, that they might think more fondly of us and say within themselves, oh, just think of that. That one's praying for me. And have thoughts about us that are not based on the truth. We are simply acting out a role, just like this hypocrite. So you see, it is very simple for it to invade our lives. And how about those circumstances in church, in the public prayer meetings, where all too often we stand up and we pray to be seen of men? We aren't really communing with God. We aren't really earnestly seeking God's face. No, we are quoting a prayer. We are making words. But we are not praying. We are only doing it to be seen of men. And the Lord Jesus makes a very clear warning here. He says, don't pray in that fashion. Don't pray like the hypocrite. Don't pray in a fashion just to be seen of men and women. That should not be your purpose in prayer. That purpose is hypocrisy. So the Lord Jesus identifies the problem very quickly and in a very clear-cut fashion. Now I want us to take a look at another thing that is covered here. And that's this. How did Jesus respond to this one? What did Jesus teach us from this example, from this illustration of this man who was praying in a hypocritical fashion? Well, there are several things he teaches us from it. First of all, he exhibits his knowledge of our hearts. Isn't it true that oftentimes we forget that God sees the heart? We get so wrapped up in what other people think and what our friend and family observe that we think that's all that goes on. And we think that because we have fooled them, we have fooled God. When in reality, my friend, He sees the heart. Notice His knowledge. He knew exactly the motive of this man. Had nothing to do with sincere communion with God. It only had to do with putting on a show for men and women, that he might be seen. Notice God's knowledge. He knows your heart, my friend. He knows why you pray, the way you pray, when you pray, where you pray, and how you pray. He sees your heart. And he knows whether in reality that is all just a show, or whether it is an expression of your heart. Notice his knowledge. Notice, secondly, that is given to us here. Notice his condemnation of that which is false. I fear that all too often we as Christians have grown comfortable with God's mercy. God is gracious and he is merciful. The scriptures say his mercies are new every day. And we've grown comfortable with His grace and with His mercy, haven't we? And we think that because we pray in a similar fashion and get away with it, that somehow that doesn't matter to God. And that somehow God has set aside His judgment. Perhaps for a time He has. But that doesn't mean in any fashion that He's pleased. Because notice the Lord Jesus in his condemnation of this man. Notice he did not condemn the fact that he prayed in the synagogue. That was not the cause of the condemnation. Nor notice that he did not condemn the man for praying on the street corner. That is perfectly acceptable. He condemned him for the attitude of his heart. The fact that it was false. It was not true. The outward did not reveal the true inward attitude. That's where God went to the heart. He did not condemn the location of his prayer. He simply condemned the attitude of his heart. The man was praying only to be seen of men. And God condemned him for it. He noticed it, and he condemned him immediately. Now notice, third, his judgment. Notice that he judged this man for his false prayer. Notice what he says. He prays on the corner that he may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, he has his reward. Someone who prays in that fashion has their reward. Well, now, what does he mean by that? Well, he means several things. First of all, he means that that kind of prayer is worthless. Did you get that? That kind of prayer is worthless. When you pray to be seen and to be heard of men and to earn their praise and condemnation, that prayer is worthless. It isn't prayer. It isn't communion with God the Father by His Spirit. It is merely giving a speech. It's worthless. It has no benefit eternally. It has no benefit in your relationship with God the Father. It is worthless and meaningless. The Lord Jesus said, He has His reward. Well, what was His reward? His reward was the praise of men. Is that what you're working for? Is the praise of men? To earn and somehow warrant their slapping you on the back and telling you what a great Christian you are? Is that what you are working for? If that is true, that is what you are working for, then that's all you'll get. That's all you will get, is a pat on the back by a friend. It's worthless. It has no eternal value. It has no true spiritual value to it. It is not from God. It is not a blessing of God. It is not a reward sent from God to your hand. It's worthless. It's meaningless. Has no spiritual impact upon your life whatsoever. On the other hand, if your desire is to commune with God, He sees that. He knows your heart. And the reward will be different. The passage goes on to describe the difference of the rewards. We don't have time to evaluate and study those rewards, but God says He will reward you openly. So the judgment that came upon the man who prayed in hypocrisy was simply to receive the vain praise of man. I would remind you what the scriptures tell us about that which is of the flesh or from the world. It says it passes away. It's not lasting. It isn't eternal in its work. It is temporary. It fades away. For you see, what are you going to do when you cease to say things that bring about praise? Then where do you stand? My friend, observe the last thing. The teaching that the Lord Jesus wants you to grab and to understand from this example. The Lord Jesus wants you to understand that praying in hypocrisy will receive His condemnation and His judgment. And your reward will be temporary. It will only be the praise of men. On the other hand, if you pray in true communion with the Father, there will be a far different result. You see, there will be that honest relationship with the Father, where that which is outward truly displays and reveals the inward attitude of the heart. And when you pray in that fashion, whether you pray in public or whether you pray in private, God hears and honors that prayer. He brings about all of the resources of heaven and of His eternal, immutable, changeless, omnipotent, omniscient power to answer that prayer. And so you have all of the resources of heaven and all of the resources of the Father Himself at your disposal that brings about His reward. So we would learn today from the example of the Lord Jesus brought to us here with this illustration of the man who prayed in hypocrisy, merely putting on a show, merely acting out a role, receiving only the praise of men. Is that true of you today, my friend? Does that illustration of the Lord Jesus describe how you pray and act as a Christian? Then all you will ever receive is the praise of men. Has the Spirit of God convicted you today of your sin and of your unbelief and of your disobedience, of your failure to worship God truly and honestly? I pray that today the Spirit of God will open your eyes to see your sin. For my friend, if you are ever to experience a spiritual revival coming from the hand of God, it begins with prayer. And it begins with honest, heartfelt expressions to the Father of your deep need of His grace and of His mercy. The Scriptures tell us that He hears that prayer, and He rewards openly. And if that is true of you today, and that is the heart cry within you, then be encouraged today, my friend, that He hears. He will answer. He will heal. He will restore. He will bring a spiritual transformation into your heart and life with that kind of true prayer. What changes does the Spirit of God need to bring about in your life today? Where does He need to work? Does He need to bring you to repentance? For you recognize the sense of your sin? That you realize that praying in this fashion is sin, that is an affront to a holy God? Does the Spirit of God need to bring you to a point where you sense a true sorrow for that sin? And you recognize its shame? And even can the Spirit of God bring to your heart and soul today a hatred for that sin? That you might turn from that sin unto the living God and find a forgiving God? For you see, the Spirit of God would then also need to bring to you a fresh revelation of the Lord Jesus. He is the advocate, the Scriptures tell us. In 1 John chapter 2, it says, "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And so the Spirit of God today needs to open your eyes today, not only to your condition before the Father, but also to the reality of the Lord Jesus and how you can find forgiveness for sin in a look at Jesus. He will give you forgiveness. He will bring you refreshing. He will bring you cleansing for your sin. I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths today and so mold them into your heart and life and apply them in your daily experience that you will know a spiritual transformation brought about by the work of the Spirit of God in your life today. I pray that the Spirit of God will do that in your life today.